So excited to be here today, and I was told to do this sort of housekeeping. If you're here, and you should have gotten one of these handy, is it Blue's Clues? Handy dandy notebook. It's like your handy dandy note card. And if you're watching online, you can download this from some of the media outlets that they have here at CPC. But you can follow along. We'll have some of the scriptures and things in there. But I'm so honored to be here today to be able to just speak with you. It's a few weeks ago, Pastor Chris called and just said, "Hey, bro, I know this is short notice. Is there any chance that you could come and preach for me on the 14th? And I said, "Well, as luck would have it, I was already scheduled off this weekend, and my wife and I were in Texas for a wedding, and so we just, instead of stopping in West Plains, we just kept on driving and came to Jackson. Actually, we came to Cape, and so here we are this morning, so excited, and excited to be here. You know, one of these days, I'd like to be here with Chris, just because he is my friend, and we spend, throughout the years, you know, we spend a lot of really good time together. Just doing some fun things together, doing some great ministry things together. But I want to kind of tell you just a little story of why Chris means so much to me. You know, we met probably back in 2008, 2009, and, you know, he's always sported that stash, right? And I swear, y'all, I think he does, like, is he, like, sponsored by Just for Men or something? My beard is a whole lot more white than his mustache. I don't know. We're going to have to talk about that. But around 2015, I was going through a season in my life. And many of you may not understand this about about pastors. We go through seasons like you do. It was a season in my life where I didn't like who I was. I didn't feel good about who I was. I did not like life. I didn't like ministry. I never thought about walking away from ministry, but there were moments when I would be standing backstage at the church that I was at, and I did not want to get out and preach. And I love preaching. You guys know how much Pastor Chris loves to preach. I love preaching. And I was just not in a good head space, spirit space, anything. And so I had decided I was going to go away for a few days. Went to a lake, rented a cabin. I was going to just pray and just invite Jesus to come and do some work in me, because, you know, one of the things I know about God is God is not going to do a great work through you until he does a great work in you. And as I was driving to this cabin, Chris called me. And at that time, you know, we talk just about every week now. Back then, we would talk every few months. And he just so happened to call me, and he's like, "Hey, bro, how you doing?" I'm like, "I'm not good." And he was the first person that I verbalized what I was going through to. And he cleared his day the next day and drove up and spent the day with me and prayed with me and talked with me and was just there for me. And if you don't have a friend like that in your life, I suggest you get one, because he was a game changer for me in that moment. And, you know, I'm just thankful for him anyway in my life, but I'm especially thankful for that moment. So I don't know, you know, he may watch this later, and just in case he does, let's take just a moment. Let's give a little love to Pastor Chris. Let's put our hands together today. Come on. So, and again, I'm super excited to be here, and I really do believe that God ordained this moment. I believe that, you know, it's not by chance that I had this weekend off, because the message that I want to share with you today, especially in the midst of this unashamed series, I think has the potential to be life-changing for you guys. Because as you're going through this series, whether it was last week's message, today, or what's to come, you need to be asking yourself some questions. Am I unashamed? If you're a follower of Christ, you need to be thinking, am I unashamed? Am I unashamed of Jesus? Am I unashamed of the gospel? Am I unashamed of my story? Have you ever even told your story to anyone? Why not? Some of us were ashamed of it. It's like, I don't know that I want people to know my junk. Like when I tell you about the low point, the depressive season that I went through, some of you would never share that because you're ashamed. I'm not ashamed of it. In fact, I'm excited to share that story, because it tells you the power of the Holy Spirit in our life and how God works through people. But many times in our stories, when we're talking about maybe our sin and our past, we're ashamed. Are you unashamed to share what Jesus has done in your life? And are you unashamed just to be able to open up and share that with other people, to be vulnerable. And so here's my prayer. This has been my prayer ever since I started building this message. You hear this amazing story from Scripture, and it really is an amazing story. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit is going to light a stinking fire in your heart, that He's going to light you up from the inside so that you begin to see your story in a very different way. That you see your story as one that holds power, that you see your story as something that will eternally change somebody's life, and that as you begin to look at your story in the way that Jesus does, that you will experience a boldness that you've never known before as you walk with Jesus, that no matter what this world throws at you, you will be unashamed of who He is and what He wants to do in your life. And so to do that, I want to paint a picture for you. Before we even dive into the text that I'm going to focus on today, I want us to paint a picture of Jesus. And it is an image that we see of Jesus often in the New Testament. And it is of Jesus sitting, okay? Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. Over and over, as you read through the New Testament, you read through the Gospels, you read through the epistles, everything, Jesus is always, always, always sitting at the right hand of the Father. Check this out, right? I'm going to just give you a few examples. Luke chapter 22, this is before Jesus goes to the cross. And Jesus himself said, "But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." All right? The right hand of the power of God. Jesus is going to be seated. Or in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and sat down at the what? The right hand of the throne of God." Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. "So if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." And these are just a few examples of Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. Time and time again throughout the Gospels, throughout the letters that Paul wrote, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated this thing called Easter. When Jesus went to the cross, he hangs on the cross, his hands and his feet are nailed to that cross, blood pours out of his body, shedding his blood for the forgiveness of your sin. He's taken down from that cross when he dies. He's buried in the tomb. 3 days later, he rises from the grave. About 40 days later, he ascends to be with God, and he takes his rightful place at the right hand of God. He takes his seat. But here's the question. We see Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. But what happens when Jesus stands? That's the question I want you to wrestle with today. What happens when Jesus stands, and what would make Jesus stand? And I will tell you, I'm just going to kind of give you the point of the sermon. Jesus stands when we're unashamed. All right, Jesus stands when we're unashamed. And we're going to see this play out in the life of a man named Stephen. Some of you are familiar with that name. Some of you may not be. As a matter of fact, in the first service, there was somebody that came up to Jared, and they're like, "Who is Stephen?" Right? And so I'm going to tell you about this amazing man named Stephen. I want to give you just a little bit of background, because Stephen is not that much different than you. A lot of times when I'm talking about characters in Scripture, whoops, that's a danger zone over there. I got to stay. This is my space, y'all, so we don't get feedback. Stephen is not that much different from you. And normally when I talk about characters in Scripture, I will say something like, this person is not that much different from us, because we're all included in that. Stephen's a little different, because I can't include myself in this statement, all right? Because Stephen is not an apostle. Stephen is not a pastor. Stephen is not an elder in the church. Stephen is a servant. I hold the title pastor. I get to lead in the church, so I'm a little different than Stephen. And so you should be able to relate to this man named Stephen, because he is a servant in the church. If you go into Acts chapter 6, you get introduced to this guy. And it's a season in the life of the church where the church is it's just exploding. Like, you go back into Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, thousands of people getting saved, and we see just thousands after thousands of people coming to Christ and this church emerging. And so you see lives changing everywhere. You see the church growing. You see lots of ministries emerging. You guys have experienced that here at CPC over the last few years, seeing the church growing a lot, seeing new ministries emerging. Can Pastor Chris run all of the ministries? No. Can the staff that you have run all? No. servants have to rise up. And so we have this moment in Acts chapter 6, the point where the apostles realize we can't manage all of this. We're going to need some help somewhere. We've got to have some people to step up and to do something else. We need to give the ministry away. We need to give the responsibility of leading ministry to some other people, a special group of people, one of which is this man named Stephen. The book of Acts chapter 6 describes him as a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. And you will see in his life, you will see absolutely a man that is unequivocally unashamed of Jesus. So let's pick up his story, right? We're going to dive right in at the very end of Acts chapter 6. Stephen, this man that is full of courage, he's full of boldness, he goes about sharing the gospel. He's not the ordained minister, right? Some people would call him one of the first deacons, but he's not the preacher. Yet he goes around preaching. He goes around sharing the gospel with people. The Bible says he goes around performing miracles. And here's the thing. The Jewish leaders that were around Jerusalem at the time, this did not sit well with them. They didn't like seeing the things that Stephen was doing. They didn't like hearing the things that Stephen was saying. And here Stephen is, unashamed in the face of opposition. Because these people begin rising up against him. Acts chapter 6, verse 9. Opposition arose. Have you ever had anybody oppose you in your faith? Maybe somebody that talked about you because of your faith. I guarantee you've not been persecuted like some people are. Right? We've experienced some tension, right? Our tension is nothing compared to what Stephen's experiencing here. Opposition arose, however, from some members of the Freedmen's Synagogue, composed of both Cyrenians and Alexandrians, some from Cilicia and Asia, and they began to argue with Stephen. They began to debate. They began to call into question some of the things that Stephen was teaching. But they were unable. They couldn't stand up against the wisdom and the Spirit by whom he was speaking. So what do you do whenever you can't win the argument? We're going into a crazy political season, aren't we? And you're going to see some of this start playing out on both sides of the coin. When you can't win the argument, what do? You start making stuff up. Then they secretly persuaded some men. And they say, we heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God. They stirred up the people, the elders, and the scribes. So they came and seized him and took him to the Sanhedrin. They're spreading lies to the point that it gets people angry. They go after Stephen. They drag him before the Sanhedrin. And they also presented false witnesses who said, this man never stopped speaking against the holy place and the law. For we heard him say, no, you didn't. We heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs that Moses handed down to us. And all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at him and saw that his face was like the face of an angel. And I love that last part. Now, one of the things that I challenge people to do when you're reading scripture is to put yourself in the story. Because a lot of times we can't really relate. Very different culture at the time. But if you can put yourself into Stephen's shoes and just try to figure out, okay, what's he feeling right now? What's he going through? What would I feel like? And I'll be honest, I would not blame Stephen if he was a little scared at this point. Not only have I had people sort of debating me and pushing back on the things that I've been teaching, they've started spreading lies about me. They have seized me and they have drugged me before these people that are powerful. He is standing in front of the high council, the Sanhedrin, and they're not just standing there, they're looking at him intently, they're staring at him. Married men, you know the stare, right? Kids, if you're in here, you know the stare. Most of the time it comes from mom. It's intent. Right? There's authority in there. And I love this moment because they're staring at him, and I have no doubt what's running through their mind. They hope to see a man that's full of fear. As they're looking at Stephen, they hope to see a man that's worried. They hope to see a man that's scared for his life. And ultimately, they hope that if they can just stare hard enough at him, that they'll scare him enough that he's willing to back down from the things that he's saying. But what did they see? They saw a man with the face of an angel. They didn't see a man full of fear. They saw a man that was full of peace. They saw a man that was unashamed. They saw a man that was unashamed, even in the face of the lies that were spread about him. They saw a man that was unashamed, that was so dedicated to sharing this message of Jesus that no matter what anybody said or did against him, he was willing to stand for Jesus. Even when the Jewish establishment started spreading rumors and lies, he confronts them. He's not afraid to go to them. He confronts them directly with their refusal to see the truth. And again, put yourself in the story. What are you thinking at this moment? How do you react? Are you unashamed like Stephen? Not only is he unashamed when it comes to opposition, he's unashamed to open his mouth and speak God's truth. I love watching this unfold here in Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7 because Stephen doesn't get defensive. A lot of times when we know we're wrong, we're going to get defensive and we're going to push back. He doesn't get defensive with his accusers. He's unashamed to speak the truth of God. He speaks boldly. He shares the gospel without apology. He shares the truth of Jesus without fear in his heart, without shame. He confronts their hearts with some hard truth. And as the old saying goes, sometimes the truth hurts. Amen? I know Pastor Chris has probably hurt a few of your feelings over the years because I know how he preaches. He ain't afraid of the truth, amen? And sometimes when we get our toes stepped on, we have a choice. Either we lean into it or we run away from it. And these people's toes were getting stepped on because the truth absolutely hurts. And after hearing all these false accusations, the high priest looks at him and he says, "Are these accusations true?" And again, he doesn't get defensive, but he also doesn't waste time in proclaiming the gospel. And he does it in such a beautiful way because he takes them back to the Old Testament. He takes these high priests back to their Jewish roots, and he reminds them of these amazing stories that we find in Scripture. He reminds them of the story of Abraham and the covenant that God made with Abraham, the covenant that said, "Abraham, I'm going to raise up a great nation from you, and through that nation, all of the world is going to be blessed." He reminds them of Jacob and his 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel, and how these 12 sons sold their brother Joseph into slavery into Egypt. He reminds them of how Joseph was raised up in Egypt and how he gained influence, and God used that influence to save his entire family from a famine. He moved all of his family to Egypt with them. And he reminds them of the story where there rose up a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph, and all of the children of Israel were enslaved, and how God raised up a man named Moses that would deliver them to freedom from Egypt, and how he would lead them toward the promised land, yet the children of Israel would rebel against Moses and against God. He reminded them of Joshua, and how Joshua would lead them into the promised land that God had promised to Abraham so many years ago. And then he told the story of King David, and he told the story of King Solomon as they were the ones that God used to usher in the construction of the temple. But then he speaks a hard truth into their life. He speaks a hard truth that strikes straight to their heart. Yes, Solomon may have built the temple, but in Acts chapter 7, verse 48, he says, "But the Most High does not dwell in sanctuaries made with hands." Now, as you look around this building, oftentimes we revere the structure. We say, "Oh, we're going down to the church." As if God is here. Oh, he's here, but it's not because of the building. You know what this is? This is not the place that God dwells. This is the tool that God has given you to reach the world. The temple that God dwells in now is right here for those of us that follow him. It says, "The Most High does not dwell in sanctuaries made with hands." And the prophet said, "Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What sort of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what will be my resting place? Did not my hand make all these things? You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your ancestors did, you also do. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They even killed the ones who foretold the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You received the law under direction of the angels, and yet you have not kept it." That hurts. He said, guys, just look in the mirror for just a moment. Do you see what he's done? Listen, the high council, they didn't know what they were getting into when they brought Stephen before them. They got way more than they bargained for because this man's not afraid of them. He stands up to them. He looks at them and he does answer the charges against him, but he doesn't argue the case against him with a defense of self. He does so by a proclamation of God's truth. He does so by a proclamation of God's faithfulness through the generations. He looks at each one of these men that have power over him, and he challenges them to see their unfaithfulness in the mirror of their own ancestors' repeated sinfulness. He points them toward the gospel, and he speaks with clarity. He speaks with directness. There's no fear in his voice whatsoever. And I love this image that we see because he may very well be the one that's on trial, but in this moment he turns the table and he speaks truth into their life. And I'll be honest, in a perfect world, as a preacher, we get up and we do a good job sharing the gospel. Everybody responds, right? In a perfect world, as Stephen stands before the council and he proclaims this truth, in a perfect world, these men would change their ways. But did they bow their knees? No. The Bible tells us that they got angry. The Bible tells us that they weren't just angry, but that anger turned to rage. And that rage would lead them to want to kill Stephen. And this is where we see Stephen be unashamed even when facing death. In Acts chapter 7, verse 54, when they heard these things, they were enraged and gnashed their teeth at him. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and he saw the glory of God. Now watch this. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Remember that picture that we painted at the very beginning of Jesus sitting? Over and over and over again in the Gospels and the epistles, we see Jesus sitting at the right hand of God, sitting at the right hand of God. This is the only time in all of Scripture that you see Jesus stand. He says, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Now, if you're Stephen, what's running through your mind in this moment, right? You're standing here and people surrounding you, people that don't like you, people that hate you, people that are full of anger, they're full of rage. That would scare some of us, right? But not Stephen. Stephen didn't see their rage. What did he see? He didn't see their rage because his eyes were fixed on the glory of God. He wasn't worried about what the world was doing around him. His eyes were fixed on the glory of God. But what else did he say? See, he said, look. He said, the heavens have opened and I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. Everywhere, every other time Jesus is sitting, but not here in this instance, Jesus is standing. Now watch this. This is cool. When Stephen looks up, when we read this story, we think about Jesus just standing there, right? But that's not what's happening. The Greek word that you see there is the Greek word histemi. And it's not just Jesus present in an erect posture. The word histemi means to cause or make to stand. And so when he looks up into heaven and he sees the heavens open, what he is seeing is he looks up and Jesus stands up. Now don't miss this. Jesus is not just standing. When Stephen looks up into the heaven, Jesus rises to his feet in front of his servant, in front of his servant Stephen, right? Nowhere do we ever see Jesus stand at the right hand of the Father. He's sitting, but here, Jesus is watching this whole ordeal unfold in front of him. He has seen everything that Stephen has gone through. He has seen how unashamed he is. He has seen how unashamed Stephen was in the face of opposition. When this opposition is bearing down on him, he has seen how unashamed he was to speak God's truth. And even in the midst of facing the sting of death, Stephen is unashamed. There's no fear in him. There's no worry in him. He has the face of an angel, full of peace and boldness. He's focused upon the glory of God, and Jesus stands. Verse 57. They yelled at the top of their voices, covered their ears, and together rushed at him. No. Right? And they go after him, they rush at him, and they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And after saying this, he fell asleep. Oh, I love this picture. I love this picture of Stephen's peace at the end as he's being stoned. And I'll be honest, how many times I've read this story in my life and for the first time really understanding what Jesus was doing in the midst of this as he rose to his feet. And it's almost as if Jesus rises to his feet to honor a man that took a stand for his glory. Jesus rises to his feet to honor a man that was unashamed of him. He rises to his feet to affirm what Stephen has done in the face of opposition, to affirm what Stephen has done in the face of these lies, to affirm what Stephen has done in the face of certain death. Stephen is unashamed, and Jesus rises to his feet. But here's what's most important. More than that, Jesus stands to receive Stephen unto himself. He stands to receive Stephen unto himself. He stands ready to welcome Stephen into the kingdom. Boy, I look forward to that. That he stood to his feet, ready to welcome his servant in, where Stephen would hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Unashamed. He was ready. He was ready because his eyes were focused on Jesus. He wasn't focused on the things of the world around him. He was prepared to face the sting of death with his eyes focused on Jesus because he lived his life with his eyes focused on Jesus. He was absolutely unashamed, and because of this, Jesus stands. But the question that you need to wrestle with, and I want to speak to those of you that are followers of Jesus right now. Would Jesus stand for you as he did for Stephen? I mean, really think about that question. Would Jesus stand for you as he did with Stephen? Are you unashamed as Stephen was unashamed? Are you unashamed of the gospel of Jesus in the face of anybody that opposes you? Are you ashamed to speak the truth of his word? Are you unashamed even unto death? And I know CPC's full of good people. I've heard plenty of stories. And I know that there would be some of you that would say yes. But I also know that when it comes to a crowd this size, many of you, if you were to take an honest look at your life, the answer would be no. And if you're a Christian today and your answer is no, it's probably time for you to repent. It's time for you to take a long look inside of your life, because here's what I know. If you look at your life, I don't have to tell you something needs to change, because you already know, right? You already know that there's things in your life that are not what they should be. You look at your life and you know that if you were ever put into a position to stand for Christ, you couldn't or you wouldn't. And so my prayer through this message today is that the Holy Spirit is going to bring a powerful conviction down upon your heart. But God is calling you to change. He's calling you to change the way that you live your life. He's calling you to stand up and to be more like Stephen. To be a man or a woman that is full of faith and full of the power of the Holy Spirit. A man or a woman that is full of God's grace. A man or a woman that is full of boldness. And I think it's time for you to get serious about this faith that you claim you have in Jesus. so that you could live unashamed for him. But I also know that there are people here today, and I want to speak to those of you that are here that you're not a believer. And maybe you're a first-time guest here at CPC. Maybe you've been in church all of your life, but whatever your situation is, you look at your life and you know. Like, I don't have to tell you how sinful you are. You know. I don't need you to tell me how sinful I am. I know. And I don't even have to tell you that you don't have Jesus, because you know. You look at your life and you look in your heart and you know that you need Jesus. You know you need to experience the saving grace that God wants to pour out on you. You know. There's no question whatsoever. You know that you need what Jesus has to offer. And the reason that you know is because you know that there's going to come a day that you're going to be in that same position that Stephen was in. Now, you may not be waiting on stones to be thrown at you, but every single person in this room is going to come to a place in their life where they're about to meet Jesus. Every single one. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 is appointed for all for people, right? This is appointed for people to die once. After this, the judgment. It is appointed unto all men once to die. And then comes the judgment. Revelation chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me, and every tongue will give praise to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Every single one of us. Every person watching online today, every person sitting in this auditorium, every person under the sound of my voice will stand before Jesus. Every person will stand before Jesus. Every one of us will close our eyes in death, will breathe our last breath. But even more than that, every person will bow their knee to God. But the question is, are you going to do it here? Or are you going to try to wait till you get there? Because I'll promise you this, if you wait to get there, it's too late. I promise you that, it's too late. For those of us that have surrendered our life to Christ here on earth, for those of us that have bowed our knees to Christ here on earth, for those of us that have been unashamed as Stephen was unashamed, we will hear the very things that Stephen heard. Not only well done, my good and faithful servant, but I will also hear, come, you are blessed by my Father, and inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for you from the beginning of creation. But on the flip side of that, those that have not surrendered to Christ, those that have not believed in Jesus or have accepted his sacrifice for their sin, the day of judgment will come to them as well. But they will hear something completely different, because God will look at you and he will say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire that has been prepared for the devil and his demons. But the choice is yours. He's not going to force you. He's going to give you the choice. He loves you that much. And so the question is going to be, will he stand for you? Will you be unashamed like Stephen was?